is I'll put it in the hat to do the fire warden report first and do videos next.
Sounds good.
Well, hello everybody. Thanks for having me today. Hope you're having a good day. Actually, before I get started, let me hand out invitations to everybody. Our annual recruit academy is getting ready to finish up here pretty quick, and I'd like to invite the board of commissioners to attend the graduation ceremony. And
July 9th. Might be able to do that.
So if you're available and would like to attend, please feel welcome. And I'd like to see you.
Yeah.
All right. So monthly fire warden's report. I called Todd Hurd and talked to him about the siding on the fire station. He said that the that's currently being advertised for the construction. So that's progressing, and he's hoping to get that done this summer.
Okay.
Garage doors are being installed as we speak, and they're looking really good.
Excellent.
And then the new alarms, the new fire alarms have been installed in both Bondurant and Boulder. And so they're just finishing up and got that done in last year's budget. So looking good there. So very pleased. Emergency incidents, we had 20 responses last month. So that's been about average for us here lately. It's for a while we were having about one per day. And so it's slacked off a little bit. And I'm glad to see it's a little bit slowed down. Continue to do rain dances out there, and might have danced a little too hard last week, but I'm glad to see the rain come in.
Messed up the control burn plans, I bet.
I'm sure. Actually, I've heard there's been some successful burns down there for the BLM down there by LaBarge, but I think things came together pretty well for them. No fire investigations last month. That means we didn't have any structure fires, so that's a good success. Fire prevention. Our prevention and education team is just doing a great job. I've got nothing but kudos for those guys. They've been doing great work. We had our catfish fry last weekend, and they had a sign up sheet down there, and they ended up getting 37 people that want to have smoke detectors installed. And I've asked them, I said, you know, when you're doing these smoke detector installations, are they generally in people's homes that don't have smoke detectors to begin with? And they said it's about 50-50. They said that whenever they do an installation, though, inevitably, if there already is one, it's one that's been expired because they've only got a 15-year lifespan. And so really, it's been a very successful program. And then we've done great work with public education, with handing out brochures and pamphlets and trying to talk to folks about reducing the hazards in their house and so on. And this year, we've got several activities planned. In September, we're doing a big fire prevention day like we've done in years past. And we'll bring up the fire safety trailer and do Sparky and so on. And one of the things we want to do is a side-by-side burn demonstration like we've done in the past, where you burn a bedroom without sprinkler protection, you burn one with sprinkler protection, and try to give a visual impact to the public about what's going on there with the differences and the time to get out of the house. So, our prevention program is going very well. Very pleased. Training program. We just sent 12 firefighters to Cody Fire School. One thing is actually I'll bring this up again in a few minutes, but all of our dry hydrant fittings for our engines and tenders in the county have been distributed. And one of the things we found is that over the years, when our dry hydrants in the county have been installed, some of them were 4-inch, some were 4.5-inch, some were 6-inch, some were male, some were female. And it's been problematic at best to address that. Now we've been trying to address it internally with making sure we've got the right equipment on the truck. But there's, I think, pretty quick we'll talk about some long-term plans for that. And I'd like to at least initiate that discussion with the commissioners about what we can do to improve that. Now I guess I'll talk about it now. I have had a conversation with Todd over at the county and planning over there, or planning and zoning. And he said from now on everything's going to be 6-inch, and I've had conversations with Billy, and we'll make sure it's 6-inch male. But now the question remains is what are we going to do with the stuff that's already in the county? So my temporary stopgap is to make sure we've got tools and equipment on the trucks that can connect, and then we worked with Billy to make sure he can connect as well. And I think we've got a good temporary solution in place, but the question still remains is what do we want to do long term with the dry hydrants that are in the county?
I can't believe that we didn't have a plan for all of those in the beginning, but we had six different battalions working, so
yeah.
Gotcha.
So would it be feasible to get just some kind of an adapter that would convert whatever's there to
6-inch and just put it on and leave it.
And that's, well, instead of putting it on the dry hydrant where it's easy to, you know, walk away with, we put them on all the fire trucks. And that's been our temporary solution is we've had a variety of different adapters that we've placed on the fire trucks to bridge that gap. But, you know, as you can imagine, that takes a significant amount of storage space. And I know, sure enough, there's going to be adapters that get moved from one fire truck to another. And sooner or later, we're going to be in a situation where we're on a fire and we don't have the right adapter to be there.
So I'm sure you've thought of this, but all those dry hydrants are PVC.
Yes.
Can't you just saw them off and put the same adapters on each one?
We can. Well,
I mean, if it's a 4-inch, you bell it up to 6-inch.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about.
So,
oh, I'm sorry. I'm supposed to
put the adapter on the hydrant instead of carrying
it. Adapt all them to be the same. PVC is easy to deal with.
Yeah, so let's just keep it on our radar and let's make that part of our long-term plan here, and we'll start having some conversations and see what we can do. I certainly don't want to do it overnight, but I think you know, as we do maintenance on these things, maybe we can replace them, and then we'll make a plan here to coordinate with Billy to start addressing that. All right. Oh, you know what? I didn't hand these out to you. What am I doing?
We're going to
pass around here.
Listen to you.
All right. So
you
trying
want one of these?
Yeah. Training facility usage. Our annual recruit academy is going on very strong down there right now. We've done some great work, and we're expecting to graduate 12 students. Here in a couple of weeks, actually, but we're using the facility down there almost weekly, doing various classroom facility stuff, and then also hands-on application. It's been a great advantage when the partnership we had with Ultra to run natural gas down there. That's been a very significant advantage for the organization and for the facility. I'm very pleased to be able to use the props now and do some live fire training using that natural gas. And I think it's been beneficial to switch over from propane to natural gas to heat the facility as well. Just win-win all the way around. Well, speaking of which, Bill, we can get the propane tank anytime. Okay. Health and safety. Our EMT class concluded. We successfully passed or graduated with 14 students and are now EMTs, 13 of which are firefighters. We purchased some additional medical equipment. Every one of our rescue trucks has a first aid kit on it. It's a bag with AEDs and those kind of things. And with the additional training our firefighters received to now be qualified as EMT basics, then we've increased our ability to provide assistance when there's a car wreck or whatever it is. We wanted to have a couple of additional tools in those first aid kits, and so we purchased some additional stuff there and made that happen. Right now, one of the big projects that I've got our health and safety officer working on is he's producing an evacuation plan. He's working closely with the Sublet Center, with Aspen Grove, and the Pioneer Center to determine, what if we ever actually needed to evacuate the residents. How would that occur? How would we make sure that we, worked with each one of the residents to collect the necessary medications and had transportation, and where we're going to place them, and all the work that's necessary to work through a very complex evacuation. And so they're working through that process right now, and I'm looking forward to seeing the final product and being prepared just in case that ever does come to pass.
Sam, do you know if you have any of your basics that might be interested in the future going on in pursuing with the intermediate class of EMTs?
I haven't asked that, but I'd be willing to field that question and see what the response is. I couldn't answer your question.
Yeah. It'd be nice if you had some that would at least go a step further. Because you're building up I think it's an outstanding thing that you got your firefighters become basics, because it's going to be beneficial in a number of situations.
Yeah.
And I just wondered if you had any that might be looking at going further.
Yeah. How many steps are there?
Well, you have two levels of intermediates. It's a little bit more intensive training, but I think it's well worth pursuing.
So there's
it takes a commitment.
There's CPR, there's EMR, which is emergency medical responder. It's basically first aid and AED.
And there's different modules for intermediates.
Okay.
You can do certified in.
Yeah. So several different levels that are available for training and qualification.
Okay.
So yeah, I'll raise the question and encourage the firefighters to continue that that training. All right, cooperative services meetings. As I'm sure several of you know, we've been having numerous meetings here recently, and I think we've had great success with that, and continue to work together closely with our cooperating agencies. And then volunteer hours, they average right now, really, but I think with the catfish ride, we're going to see significant uptick in the work that's been necessary to make that come together. We had a very successful catfish ride last weekend. I was very pleased with the turnout.
Did you get a count?
Yeah, so we had 530 or 525 are in that ballpark. Don't
wow.
Close to that. It was within 10, one way or the other. But yeah.
You start to slack up, and then all at once the line was clear out the door.
We saw that too. Yeah.
It was on and on. So that was good.
Good turnout, yeah. Yeah, it's quite
great,
a bit of
great food, by the way.
Oh, thank you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't cook it, so I can't take credit, but I know the firefighters put a lot of effort into that. So. All right. I'll stand for any questions on the regular fire warden report. Anything for me?
I'm just sorry I missed it.
I was out of town also.
That's good.
Yeah, that's our big event. We always look
like
forward
to it.
Mm-hmm. Well, they cook it right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hush puppies, man.
Oh, man.
Okay, well, I'll invite Dave and Billy up if you guys want to come sit with me. We'll go over the radio monthly report and kind of work through that process, too.
Want one?
I'm not back. I just got my brother.
All right, so I'll give you kind of the rundown here, and I'll have Billy and Dave jump in whenever there's something relevant. But last month we had the engineering site visit. That's when the Harris engineers came out, and they physically looked at each one of the tower sites and looked at the 911 center. And basically before it was some of the sales staff that were here and the customer support staff. Now the actual engineers that are building the system needed to come look at it and make sure they had their eyes on it and knew what to expect. And so they completed that last week. The microwave system is currently being designed. The preliminary product has been put forth, and the engineers are reviewing that, making sure they validate their needs as far as heights and azimuths and sizes of dishes and so on. So that's moving forward. They look closely at our paging system. You remember the need to page the firefighters and make sure that was integrated with the new digital system. They've come up with some solutions on that, and again, the engineers are finalizing those plans for integration between the two different radio components. The geo-redundant core, we wanted to make sure that there was full interoperability on the geo-redundant core. That was one of the primary considerations when we agreed to put in the secondary core, but one of the things that we didn't foresee was all the interoperability was built into the primary core. We needed to make sure that same level of interoperability was available on the secondary core. So the engineers looked closely at that and came up with some great solutions on that as well. But we wanted to make sure we didn't overlook that potential for significant problems that could occur if we didn't have that interoperability built in. One of the things we have coming up pretty quick is fleet mapping. What that essentially means is that there's the folks from Harris are going to come out and meet with us for several days. It sounds like maybe 3 days to determine the final frequencies that we're going to use and the users on the system, how to prioritize if a law enforcement and a firefighter both push to talk at the same time, which one goes higher? And if Weed and Pest and Road and Bridge are involved, which one goes higher? So some of that, the architecture of the radio system needs to be worked out. And so the fleet mapping is where you figure out who's going to be on the system and how they're going to talk to each other and how many talk groups are going to be necessary to allow everybody to speak that needs to be on the system. The VHF and UHF integration is moving forward. One of my concerns is that the frequency application is behind schedule on that, and I've been working with Harris to try to get that back on track and back on schedule. But we're still trying to identify a couple of things that are moving targets on the system, and once we finalize some of the questions about tower heights and some of those outstanding questions that we're still working through the process. Once those things are finalized, and that finalizes the overall design of the system, and then the final application for the frequencies can be submitted. Moving through each one of the towers, the Marbleton SO tower, the building permit has been issued. The tower has been ordered. The soil samples have been completed, and work is scheduled to begin soon.
Mostly. The soil samples have not been delivered to us from Enberg Miller. They're supposed to have them today or yesterday. And I was just on the phone with the tower company. They're waiting. I mean, the steel is built. All they're waiting to do is the foundation design and ship us the data and the templates. But they can't give us PE stamped drawings of that tower until they have a soil sample that tells them what they're actually going to build the tower on. Ditto for Kismet. So, or South Rim, whatever we want to call it.
So, Dave, I've still got that check on my desk.
Yes, and
Am I still holding that check?
Yep, as soon as I email them the soil report, they will email us a PE stamp set of drawings, and
okay.
At that point, you can release the check.
Okay.
And they're cool
okay.
with that. So.
Okay. Yeah, I just don't want it to.
No, we just want to make sure.
Long.
Yeah, we're covered.
Okay.
On the Enterprise Tower, we've made an offer. They're currently doing an internal review with their legal department, and I expect to hear something back from them any day on what direction they're looking to go with that. Sounds promising, though. The Hogsback Tower, the grounding system's been ordered, the tower extension's been ordered, and work is scheduled to begin soon on that one. And we need to bury the copper grounding system, and I'll let Dave explain what's necessary there.
Okay, so what we do, we've got a big monolithic slab with the tower on it, just like this mouse pad. We put rings of copper and various things around it and ground it in with grounding rod, and we silver solder everything, and we put all this shiny copper out there, and then at that point we cover it with dirt because shiny copper in remote places goes away, gets swiped. So we just need to coordinate with Billy or whoever you guys direct to do road base is what I would like to have up there. It's the best thing to do the grounding with, short of really good clay soils, but clay soils are a pain in the butt later because you're up there walking and driving on them at the site. So you want something that's sort of gravelly, that sort of conducts. So road base is typically what we use. We're going to need on the order of about 150 to 250 yards. It'll just depend on how the sloping away from that main concrete pad is. They're going to put a 24 by 12, 70-some-thousand pound precast concrete building up there, so they've got to do a little foundation work, so we've kind of got to coordinate that. But I'd like to get the grounding in sooner as opposed to later. It's just one thing to tick off the list. It won't be affected by the construction later because they'll just pour a pad, hopefully over the pad that we have on the existing building for the new building. So with direction from the commission on where or who gets the dirt, if Billy can do it, and I don't know how you guys want to do that, but that's what we're going to need up there. And then also on Hogsback and certainly on Kismet for the BLM permitting, we need arc map shape files, which I guess when Billy uses them for his BLM stuff, he has Rio Verde do that. I had talked to Richard, and what he has is not what the BLM is using. So
okay.
It is the same stuff, but it's not. It's kind of hard to explain. So anyway, I need permission from you guys to bring in Rio Verde to have them do a little bit of map drawing. I don't think it's going to be that significant. I don't think it's going to cost that much. But that's pretty much where we're at for the BLM application for Kismet before we can build a new tower up there. And my guess is they're going to, at some point along the evolution, want that for Hogsback as well. So my thought was if we just do them both and get it out of the way and get it done, and that way when they want it, we've got it sitting in our hand and we can just hand it to them and say, here you go. So.
Okay. Well, that makes sense that we just direct Rio Verde to do that work.
I can get with those guys. On should I just keep going on the tower stuff?
Let's
get there.
Okay.
Yeah. Need to. I'll go ahead. Billy on the road base.
Is that something you have time for?
Yeah, I mean the Hogsback one is we talked there. Stay, you know, it'd be a day. I'd take it out of dry basin. That reject we had
yeah.
very, I think,
oh,
they just thought it'd be fine.
All right.
Be two trucks, need a backhoe or a loader up there, spread it out. We'd have done in a day. It's not
okay.
that big deal. I could work it in.
Okay. Let's do that then.
So do we need to, are you going to have throughout this project other moments of the same stature?
Yeah, kind of the same
would
sort
it
of.
Save time and if we just kind of, if it's within reason, or do you want to do them case by case?
Well, I can give you the pretty much the summary of what we need at most of the sites here. We need to do that at Hogsback, and then we need to do a little road work at Kismet, going up Kismet South Rim, same place, different names.
And that's on BLM, right?
That's on Miller's.
Miller's
and
private property.
And
that's
I had earlier spoke with Keith Manning, who manages it. The gist of our conversation yesterday is we want to deal directly in writing with the landowners. So I called Mike and Tara yesterday afternoon. Mike was out riding, but I did talk to Tara quite a while. They're fine with us doing what we need to do on the road, but they want us to keep it minimal. They don't want to see big road development. She said, you know, whatever you guys need to do to safely get in and out of there, but don't be building any 8-lane highways. So, and I've got her email address. What I was going to do, if it's okay with you guys after the meeting today, is I'll start an email chain between Billy Shad, myself, the Sheriff Mary. If you guys want in on it, that's fine. Just so everybody has in writing what's going to occur up there and why and how we're going to do it, so there's no miscommunication. And no, he said, she said later, if something doesn't go the way someone wants.
I think we need to involve Matt.
Matt, okay.
From the county attorney's office
certainly.
On this, because there's going to need to be some type of a alteration to that
an amendment or
agreement,
something.
An amendment okay. to that
yeah.
contract.
And she did very pleasantly remind me that no one is to be driving up there when it's wet. They were pretty adamant about that. And the reason being is the first few miles off the road until you get up to where the muddy spot was, you just rut the hell out of it if you're up there when it's wet, and then they've got to go in and fix it. So.
Yeah, so I think the first thing we need to do is I need you to get with Matt.
Okay.
And Matt is going to have to draw up some type of an amendment to that contract.
Okay.
And then we can get the Millers to sign it. And then I think we're in business.
Okay. I will talk to Matt as soon as we're done here.
Okay.
What level of work do you think needs to be done? Is it
I think the like what Billy was saying.
There's a few bad spots. I mean, you know, we'd go in, just throw down some fabric, put a couple feet of pit run on it, you know, 16 foot wide, you know, no bigger than that. And, you know, they're saying they got to have concrete trucks and that'll hold them. Rest of it, just a lot of ruts need filled in, so, you know, just kind of blade them in a little bit. Might have to do, you know, put some pit run in a few spots, but it ain't that big a deal.
Okay.
It's not that big a job. Okay. That one spot needs a pipe, probably throw just a piece of casing in there, you know, cover it. I mean, it's...
And if you run into any issues anywhere and you can't get a hold of Billy and you can't get a hold of Butch, get a hold of one of us.
Okay.
And then we'll move forward from there.
Keeping good communication with landowners.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you know, and that's...
So don't get sideways or something. Or
no, and we're absolutely not going to do that. And, you know, Tara was really pleasant, and Mike is easy to work with as well. Historically, they've been great for us up there, so...
Okay. So the Kismet Tower, we're currently working with the BLM for the lease amendment on the modifications that need to be done on the site up there. I think we got a plan in place here and some marching orders here for direction to go, so I think we're in good shape on that. Let's see here. Yeah, so if the application's approved, then we'll move forward with building a new tower, and we'll, like I said, we're going to get some concrete trucks up there, and that's really what's kind of driving all this. And then a core sample in order to make sure that the tower we build on, that the foundation is going to support that. So. And then the White Pine Tower, the Harris engineers have conferred that the existing tower does not provide sufficient vertical space. So there's just no physical way to mount the necessary towers for the WildLink antennas and our antennas on the same tower there. And so we've had a preliminary meeting with WildLink, and we're currently working through the process to address those high concerns and come up with a solution that works for everybody. And there's a couple of solutions on the table that we're currently reviewing. So no news on that yet, but I think we're making progress in the right direction on that. So that's my update on the radio system. Do you have any questions? And
So the white timer, is that really the biggest stumbling block that we have? It looks like everything else has kind of fallen into place. But the white pine is, we got to negotiate.
Yeah, in my opinion, there's a lot that hinges on the white pine tower, and if we don't work this out, there's definitely a potential to be kind of a keystone that could fail in the system if we don't figure out the right solution on the white pine tower.
And you're absolutely convinced that the existing tower can't handle an extension?
No, not. You could maybe put a little bit on it, but not to the levels we're talking about. I mean, there was talk when we built the site of putting a cookie cutter standard wire link tower, which is 150 foot. And the Forest Service and the tribe were absolutely dead set against that. So they built it to 60. I was under the impression the foundation was actually built for a 100 footer.
That's what we all thought.
But nobody has been able to come up with any verifiable drawings or stamp stuff or pictures or anything that allude to that. And nobody in their right mind is going to say, go ahead and put an extension on something with absolutely being certain, especially on that site, that the foundation's capable of holding it. Where that foundation is...
So we have the plans.
We do,
but
they're for a 60-foot tower. Yeah, but the hope was that there was something for 100, and they're just no one's been able to dig that up. So the bigger problem up there is they built out that section of the hill with fill, and then it's a three-piered type concrete base with a platform underneath it. But to go to a bigger tower, we're going to need a bigger physical space to put that foundation, and that, as it sits right now, there's not room there to put. So there's some real challenges, but Shed's working on it, and you know, we'll know more in a few weeks.
So. Okay. Very good. Nothing else.
Concrete. Marbleton. I'm going to be able to start on that. And my hope was just to use Adams. We've used them before on Kismet. They did a great job. I would like the permission to use them on the Marbleton thing and our foundations, just because we've worked with them before. But I need to have permission from you guys so I can go beg concrete guys to interrupt their schedule and get our projects going once we get to the point where we have drawings and can show them what we need built. Should have the templates for Kismet and for Marbleton. They will either ship late this week or early next week, and the Hogsback extension should ship late this week or early next week. And that's paid for. You guys have already paid for that. As soon as that ships, it'll go to the tower guys, and they'll go put it on.
So, Mr. Chairman, does that amount to enough? We need to do an RFP.
Right, well, I was thinking a proposal.
That's what I mean.
I know it.
Proposal.
How much are we talking?
For if we do them one at a time, if you do them all... I don't know. I don't remember what the base out here cost. John Visser did that, and he dealt directly with the tower guy. I was not involved in the numbers. The county was not directly involved in the numbers for the concrete that was included in the tower price. On these, we didn't do that because we didn't know what our situation was going to be. And you know, I can talk to those guys and maybe try and get a feel what we're looking at. I'm guessing in the 10,000 to 20,000 range for Marbleton. I would guess probably half again more for Kismet, maybe more because of the distance that the concrete guys have got to travel. It's quite a bit bigger base on Kismet. The one in Marbleton is going to be about 4 feet thick and about 12 foot square. The one on Kismet will be about 5 foot thick and 21 foot square, 24 foot square. So it's a quite a bit bigger hunk of concrete up there.
Where is this Adams from?
Josh is from Pinedale here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
the local people.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Okay,
absolutely.
Is there a dollar amount we have to consider for an order?
No.
No, there really isn't.
Just is there the price?
That's what?
Just get it. Have him make you a proposal so you can see what the price is.
Okay. Yeah. And to do that, I've got to wait for the drawings. So everything right now is kind of hinging on this soil sample because the tower company won't release the drawings until they have a soil sample. But as soon as I have drawings in hand, I can go to him.
Right. You know, there's local concrete outfits there in Marbleton.
And I don't care who does it. You guys can give me the direction there. What I do care is they're good.
Right.
Because we're going to put on those tower legs, you have a ring of bolts that are set in the concrete. And if those bolts are more than about a 1/16 of an inch off, and there's, I think, 8 on each leg, and they're in a triangle. And if your distance is from any bolt to any other bolt or about more than about a 16th off, you got real problems. Now, they do send a physical steel template that you put on the top of the concrete when you pour it, and you bolt it all together. But we want to make sure we use someone that's done building foundations with cast-in bolts and understands how critical that is, because if they screw it up, we get to do it over.
Yep, I understand, but just have a hard time not doing it or a proposal on this.
However you guys want to do it. It makes no difference to me, so.
Okay.
You guys tell me what you want, and we'll get her done.
And I've used both, and I've been happy with, you know, both of them.
Okay, and who's the one in Big Piney?
Milo is the one.
Meadow Canyon
Ready Mix?
Yeah.
But he just...
They're concrete, though. He's talking about...
I need the contractor that you need.
Well, there's a lot of contractors.
There's not one there.
Are there no concrete
contractors? Is there a dollar amount that has to be addressed for an RFP?
No.
I mean, if it's under or above, there's
no. Okay.
No, it's really up to our discretion. Why don't you ask Adams for a proposal?
Okay.
Yeah, because Milo just pours concrete.
Yeah, Milo just does a delivery.
Yeah.
I can only think of one other.
What's that?
Is Reed still in business?
They make the concrete, but they don't form it. They just haul it in the truck.
So if we're going to ask for
the only two I know of are Adams and 307.
Adams.
Well, and Slider.
Unless Milo teams up with.
What's that?
Slider.
Oh, Slider. That's right there, Slider. Oh, my gosh.
Anybody else? I mean, and another way, you guys, some of these guys may or may not want anything to do with it because concrete guys are slammed.
And that's fine.
Yeah. If you guys would like, I'll be happy to call all those guys. If you want to just give one guy one job, one guy the other job.
Well, let's just get a proposal from them.
Okay. As soon as I get drawings, I will send the drawings to the different guys.
Yeah, because some of those guys might not work.
Some of them won't have time.
They'll tell me
that. That'll be fine.
So I've got Adams 307 and Slider. Is there anybody else?
Yeah. What's that?
Adams 307 and Slider.
Slider.
Is there anyone else?
Is that something Bennett would do?
No, they pour concrete.
Did you say 16th
These are
guys
forming and finishing.
I'm sorry.
No.
I go with that, Dave.
Okay.
Four millimeters. Yes,
that's my opinion.
Okay. Yep. That's fine. Can you think of any others?
I cannot.
I can't.
Okay. Sounds good. Send it. Get a proposal from those three.
Okay. We'll do. We'll go from there. Are we going to go with lowest proposal? Is that?
Not necessarily.
Okay.
Just get the proposals and we'll go through them.
Okay. All right. I'm just concerned about the interest of time.
I am too.
Okay.
I understand. But if they don't have time to even get your proposal, there's your answer.
Right. Okay. Will do. Room construction.
They don't have time to do the project if they don't have time to do the proposal.
Room construction in Marbleton. Need a blessing for that, to build a wall and poke a door, so we got a place to put the core over there. And also...
Is that at the SO?
That's at the SO.
Okay, and so adding a room on, or you're just poking a hole through?
Right when you walk in the SO there, there's on the right is the window with the gal behind it, and on the left is the DOT area where they do their driver's licenses. We can move them to the gym, which doesn't get used on the other end of the building, and then they have their own access in and out of there without disturbing any of the sheriff's office activities. We just wall across that room.
That's the answer, just a wall.
Just a wall.
It's a wall.
It's a wall, and then we have to put a door in the other wall.
Okay. Yeah, go ahead. Didn't realize we had a gym in our SO over there.
It's just a little weight room. It's not real big, but...
I didn't know they did driver's license there. I thought they did them down...
Did they change places? I thought it was... Yeah.
And then the other thing...
That's where Roxana goes and issues registration.
Oh, registration, not driver's license.
Do we want to discuss eventide redundancy? Do you guys want to do that now? Do you care? Do we do it later?
Remind me on that.
We have one eventide recorder in the county right now, which records the stuff in and out of dispatch, both radio traffic and phone traffic. We have one phone line in the sheriff's office in Marbleton that is routed through this system. The other lines over there are not recorded. The recording technology is not perfect. The new recorder we have that Motorola finally gave us after the NICE debacle works better. It is not perfect. We have lost recordings because the machine has had some issues, regular maintenance, things like that. So if it's deemed important by you guys to have all of these recordings all the time, the only surefire way to do that is a redundant system where you have two recorders that are recording the same thing at the same time. So if one of them has a problem, the other one's recording it, and you've got it in two places. And to make them redundant, you put them in separate places. So you would put one in Marbleton, and we have the one here. When the cores are, the radio system cores are in place, all of the traffic that's happening in either place will be in both places simultaneously. So that facilitates the recording architecture of that. It's just it's cost. You know, it boils down to everything. Boils down to money. So if there's will to have redundant recording, then we need to look at putting an Eventide over there. And I think Harris is getting some price for that. Didn't we ask them to do that?
We did. Have you had a conversation with the sheriff?
I have. And my understanding is that recording is pretty important.
Yeah.
So.
We don't have a price for that then.
Yeah. We don't have a price yet. I just wanted to
wait till we get a price on it.
Okay.
So you need to work now with the sheriff and then come to us once you have a price.
Yes.
See what it's going to cost.
Okay. And that's all I have.
So. Okay.
Thank you.
All right, gentlemen. It's always a pleasure.
time and money. It can all be fixed with time and money.
Every time you guys sit down, I just ka-ching, ka-ching.
Good Thanks
work.
Very much for your time.
Good work. See you guys.
Yeah, appreciate it.
See you, bro.
See you. Sheriff, come on up.
We warmed him up for you.
Yeah. You know, they got us good and ticked.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good. So, busy last week with the WAM. Gubernatorial candidates were in town at the Rock and Mineral Show. We also had some training going on with the schools, which was really good for our deputies and for the staff. Busy weekend. We pretty much maxed our jail facility out at 37.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
I think we.
How many of them were elected officials?
Yeah. None. We had no issues. So that was good.
That's right. There was a rodeo this weekend. That's right.
We had a. I think we released three between yesterday and today. So we're down to 34.
Just normal summertime.
I think
stuff.
So. Yeah, but this is the most we've ever had.
Wow.
That I can remember.
Troublemakers, so.
Yeah.
Okay.
They were all locals, probably.
They were. Yes. Yep. I guess there were a few coming through that, controlled substance possessions.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
For the majority, it was local.
Green license plates.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. No, other than that, I don't really have anything unless you have some questions.
All right. Anything for the sheriff, gentlemen, at this point?
I don't think so.
I saw that they put out the application process for the livestock investigator for the state, but that could take quite a while. So.
Yeah. One thing I'll mention, I attended, I had for old business, but I'll talk about it now because at the Joint Ag Public Lands Legislative Committee meeting, I was there for part of that, and that livestock investigation came up. And I just mentioned that, and I was not accurately quoted, the paper said that I reported that you had two deputies assigned to checking paperwork. I don't know where that came from. I knew I said we were working, that you are law enforcement was working to stop vehicles asking for paperwork. The point I was making was that not all counties can do that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I made the recommendation to the committee that they put this on the agenda for your sheriff's association to get feedback from other county sheriffs on what might work. And it was pointed out by a legislator that the legislature might be interested in funding some positions that would report possibly to the Sheriff's Association and coordinate it that way through law enforcement. just to let you know, it'll hopefully it'll be on your agenda for the sheriffs to talk about.
Right.
Statewide.
Right. Yep. I know. So Mike Gilman, who is in Lincoln County, who has tried to put a task force together with local brand inspectors, law enforcement, is going to reach out to some of the chiefs and sheriffs in outlying counties to see if they want to get on board as well. Right now I have one person that's doing the livestock inspections.
Okay.
We'd like to get two trained up to that so we can rotate.
I don't know where the number two came from.
Okay.
And that might have come from me.
That might have been for me at the Cattlemen's Association. I did mention that.
I would like to have two that's probably,
you know, trained in brand inspections, paperwork, livestock, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I think we are planning another one this Friday, another mandatory livestock inspection point. So.
So just thinking of county constituents, if they are trailering inside the county and a deputy pulls them over, do they have to have their brand inspection with them?
No. If they're
right.
in the county, they don't have to have any paperwork.
So they probably won't pull them over if they're pulling a county licensed horse trailer? Or?
Probably not.
Okay.
Yeah, more than likely not, unless there's a moving violation.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But they won't be checking them in particular.
No.
Okay.
No.
Gotcha. That's good, because I have no idea where some of my brand inspections are.
Okay.
I got some deceased ones you can borrow.
Yeah, right. Right.
You don't need to worry unless you're going out of county.
Right. Well, and I don't. I don't take my horses out of county ever, so I don't know where some of my brand inspections are. Okay, that's all I have.
Some of this stuff they've talked about is like a big enclosed van that's, you wouldn't even know it could have livestock in it.
Yes.
Fill it full of cattle and go out of state and they're gone.
Yep. They're using
snow machine trailer.
Yeah, like snow machine.
They're using enclosed trailers. They're using refrigerated trailers.
I would never put a cow inside my snow machine trailer.
Using false floors. It's,
really?
It's a big business.
Wow. Hook up some pretty extravagant
getting
stuff.
Pretty good at it, aren't
mm-hmm.
they?
Yep.
Okay. Anything else, gentlemen?
Nope.
No, thank you, Sheriff.
Waters, hopefully the rains will secede. And
all right.
High waters, so.
Getting
no
geared
major,
up for 4th of July.
No major incidents, so.
And rendezvous, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Good deal.
In the vouchers, there was binoculars. Was that more than one pair, or was that?
Yes.
Okay.
That's replacing. We've had those for about 15 years.
That's fine. I just thought that's
one
pair.
How many pair was it?
I think that was four total.
So they are pricey.
Yes.
I had to note of that, too.
Yeah.
What kind of really? I did.
Is this for the night vision?
I don't know. It said binos.
I think it was the
night vision.
Yeah, it's been four plus for those.
Yep, generation two.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah, no, there's
been. That caught my eye. Like,
that was one of the things we wanted to wait till the end of the year to make sure we still had the money to purchase them. So.
Should all have Swarovskis.
Oh, anytime you go price a set of Swarovskis,
our binoculars were using the Vortex, the Wyoming made. You know,
Vortex is.
If you put is it Vortex or Vertex?
Vortex.
There's a Wyoming.
It's one lander.
If you put them up to a Swarovski or a Leica, I mean, the glass is very comparable. I mean, you're paying, you know, a third of what you pay for the higher end glass, the German glass. So.
And all day looking through them, that's when you tell the difference.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Not everybody has all day.
Not everybody needs all day.
Boy, zing. This is a little
bit getting bad. Yeah.
Andy, can I ask him a question?
Yeah, go ahead.
Someplace somebody mentioned that to call you about kind of suspicious activities that you might see.
Mm-hmm.
Can you kind of elaborate on that?
That was for the,
I think that was brought up last commissioner's meeting with Mr. Bowsman. If you're out in BLM and you see a trailer out in the middle of nowhere with a bunch of cattle, just call us and we can just, the most we can do is just go make contact. I mean,
even if it's a local trailer?
Not so much, but if it's, you know, if you think it's suspicious or it's out of the ordinary, I mean, yeah, we have every right just to go ask. I mean, we don't have to, you know, they can say no, or, you know, you can't search my trailer, or it's none of your business, and we'll, you know, we'll leave, but at least we'll notate from if cattle start missing from that area, then we'll have a lead. So
if there's calves in the trailer and no cows, then you...
Yeah, it's suspicious, yeah. Right.
Calf wanting to suck the neighbor's cow, that's an issue.
Yeah. So we're working, yeah, we have an interesting one now. We had a cow that was shot up towards the Boulder Lake area. Yep. We're looking into that. But
thanks, Sheriff.
Yeah, thank you guys.
Just shot and left.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Mary, let's do workers' compensation plan before we get into old business. Does that sound...
Sounds lovely.
Lovely. Mm-hmm. We're excited.
So, Mr. Chairman, you have received... Well, let's back up, shall we? Not the past legislative session, but the one before. So it would be the 16 session.
Yeah.
There was a bill that was passed that would allow counties to come together as a group and be one account with workers' comp. And so there was it passed, and there was a committee that was formed, and Commissioner Rauhauser and I have both been on that committee. We've had a couple of two conference calls over the last year to talk about how this should form. And the last conference call that we had, they generated this paperwork that came to you, and I think you got it, and then I resent it to you again this last when I sent your vouchers to you this past week, that we had gotten from Pete Overmuller. It explains what the plan of work is and what the purpose of this is, what the cost is going to be, and all that kind of stuff, if we should unite together. So the committee approved going out to the counties and see what the counties think about uniting to do this workers' comp plan. And that's what you have in front of you today. I don't know if you want to discuss it, if you want to take it under advisement at this point. There really isn't a deadline that I've heard as far as when this needs to be approved, but they want to start the discussion. The other thing that is available is Pete is available to come and speak to the commission if you would want to talk to him about this, but it's kind of the kickoff to start talking about dealing with, or if we would be interested in joining this workers' comp group.
Right.
It's an all or nothing deal, right. Also.
I think at this point, if we just take this under advisement and kind of see where it goes, I think that's probably the best thing to do. The way ours is taken care of and the way that ours functions is actually pretty slick. And it sure makes you not want to fix something that ain't broke. So I kind of thinking maybe we sit back and just see how it plays out.
I think that's the wise thing to do, solely because we've been on the cutting edge of several other decisions in the state. And this is one I think we wait to see what Campbell County does, what Teton County does, what these other counties, where they fall in, because... What is there, five of us, Murray, that are in good shape where the rest of the state is not in good
shape? And I can see why the rest of the state wants to do this and wants to get something implemented.
Sure.
So I can sure understand that. But it's like us with some of our other things. We're doing pretty good with what we're doing.
So this is an all or none? If one county don't join in, then the rest are just out too.
Right. So I think if we kind of wait and see how everybody else plays out, and if we have to in order to take care of our neighbors, then we have to. But it might get to the point where not everybody's going to want to.
Mm-hmm. Well, it would be interesting to know what the thrust was for this.
Yeah.
And I don't I, as a clerk, don't know why this bill was brought in the first place. I know that it was actively lobbied by the commissioners, and I don't know what the thought process was behind that. Okay. The other thing that you should know is the letter that we received. There are 14 counties that will pay more if we go in.
Right.
And it's not just a little bit. The smallest amount is $474, but the largest amount is $77,619 to Campbell County.
Campbell County,
yes.
Yeah.
Teton County was high.
Teton County is they'll save $50,000. We will pay an additional $11,000 to participate, but Sheridan County will pay $67,000. And some of these guys, some of these guys can't afford that. Converse County, $23,000. Bighorn County, they haven't got a window or a pot, and $42,000. So
sounds like somebody's going to say no before us.
If that's yes, what I'm thinking, so that's what I'm thinking. If we can be the last ones to make the decision on this, that'd be great.
It won't be a deal breaker if we are.
No.
This goes back to the recapture thing with the school districts, the Robin Hood effect, the rich taking care of the poor.
And then if there's 22 counties that are on board, then maybe we take the $11,000 hit. Mm-hmm.
So, Mr. Chairman, question for Mary. Do you know any idea how many of these counties go through LGLP as opposed to?
You bet. There's only two counties that I'm aware of that have private insurance.
Us and who else?
Campbell.
Us and Campbell.
Both have insurance through the same company. One Beacon is our carrier. We've had One Beacon we're on our third year now with them, I believe. But part of the deal is. And we've been in LGLP.
Remember when we were in.
Yeah, we've been in LGLP. We left them because we had a $40,000 premium increase. It was cheaper for us to go out to the private sector than it was to stay in LGLP. But our insurance provides us with lots of service. And service being, we have a risk manager that shows up once a year and goes to the jail, goes to the courthouse, looks at what we're doing and makes suggestions and gives us a work plan on how to improve things.
So does LGLP do that for the?
No, they don't.
What I'm thinking is maybe something they need to look at is if they went this way to give something besides LGLP a shot at serving all the counties. One Beacon.
But no, because LGLP is legislated also.
That's through the legislature.
Yeah, it's it was formed by the legislature back in the 80s when liability insurance became really hard for municipalities to purchase. So we couldn't buy liability insurance. And they went legislatively and they formed LGLP. And they also have WORM. And WORM is risk management. It's also a statutory formed type of insurance. But it's cheap. It allows the counties that, can't afford to do anything to do that. But my contention has been through this and being on this committee, because I'm one of those girls that was sitting here like this when we voted on shooting this out to the people, because I'm not convinced that we really need this. But we get a lot of service. We get this. The other part of it is our insurance company sat with us as we beat out the policies, the personnel policies for the county, as well as all of the operating policies for the sheriff's office.
I remember when we did that. Yeah. So the number that's in that attachment, is that the premium we pay to One Beacon?
No.
You know that?
No. Things. That's what we pay to workers' comp.
To the state.
Mm-hmm, to the state. But my contention is that we have this insurance that helps us to make sure we do safety meetings so our guys don't get hurt.
It reduces our claim, right?
Yeah, it reduces our claim. We're already doing that work.
So we're basically already doing the same thing that this position, sure. if That's they're right. established, would be doing
That's
statewide.
Right. That's right. So what I look at the work plan, and what essentially it looks like is going to happen, is that there will be an administrator that will be in Cheyenne that will administrate workers' comp cases for the counties. We will all pay our premium into one account, and we'll continue to function as far as the paperwork part goes the same. But they'll be working, I don't know what really they'll be doing as far as getting our claims filed. Our department heads know how to file claims, and we do it all the time, and it's not rocket science. And we have safety programs, and we have things going on that we're probably getting the best breaks that we can get from workers' comp. So I have a really hard time sitting here saying, hey, we should jump in.
Well, so did you bring those concerns up on this committee about how you worked with One Beacon? And
yep.
So they had a chance to talk about that?
But the problem of it is that there's only two of us in the state that are doing it. Mm-hmm. Everybody else is in LGLP, where you get no insurance service, basically. You get a blue piece of paper that says you have insurance, and that's that. And, you know.
Mary, would it be accurate to say that if we were to participate, that in the future our rates would be determined by the claims rate of the pool?
Probably.
Not just the county.
Yeah.
Probably. Yeah.
The other question is if we did join this and it didn't work out the way everybody thought it was going to,
then you're hung.
Well, can't you just back out and go back to where you were?
I don't think so. Not if it requires the participation of all the candidates.
Probably not.
I think once everybody's on board, I think you're on board.
You're in. Yeah. It's like retirement.
Yeah. So this is a big decision before you start.
This is huge.
It's more than just pay $11,000 more.
Yeah.
So it may behoove us to have Pete come and answer the questions.
Well, let's wait and see how things go.
I think we wait for the rest.
If we decide we're inclined to say no, then they'll have Pete come.
So another thing that makes me nervous when I look at this is that if you look on where the memo is and it talks about what the purpose of the CLG is going to be, another CLG, County Employer Group, or CEG, sorry, CEG. So I think the first thing that you do is when you take the next step here is that we decide how the management of this group is going to be. But the purpose, there's a fourfold purpose of the CEG, and, you know, to improve the outcome of county employees' help with health and safety work related and connected, recovering, quickly returning to work, so workers' comp kind of activity. But number four on the list, which makes me nervous, is it says, to establish a revenue stream between the costs of operating the CEG for the Wyoming County Commissioners Association that reduces the county's overall dues obligation as a percentage of the budget. Okay, so we pay $19,000 to the County Commissioners Association for our membership in that group. What this is, okay, this will be an opportunity to generate money so that $19,000 doesn't turn into $25,000 or something bigger. And I'm going to say it. I think we're going to pay for one of those offices in the new building.
That was going to be my.
What's the response to that? This is a big deal, and there's a lot of talk about, you know, joining together to do other things, joining together to do health insurance, joining together to do all these other things amongst counties, and we seem to be the guys that are always the ones that are going to pay more to get to join when we're doing it okay on our own.
Look at the other thing. I hate to use Wyoming for an example, but there you have it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a perfect example.
Good example. Let's sit back and wait.
Yep. Yes.
Very good. Okay. Commissioner Rawhauser, do you want to start with old business and start the bills?
I'll start the bills. Mr. Chairman, I really have nothing to offer for this.
Excellent. Commissioner Noble.
I attended a few things at the WAM conference. Went through the 4-H interviews. There was three candidates there. They were all good candidates. They're going to go through some references and background checks and see if that helps determine one of them.
Okay. So you didn't make a decision? Didn't make a decision.
No decision as of yet.
Okay.
I think that's it.
Okay. Commissioner Rawhauser, you had something?
I do. I forgot. I was at a 4-H function this weekend with my grandson, and it was fantastic. Well run at Boulder, the bow and arrow shoot, run by the 4-H. I, of course, had no idea things like this existed, and it was very well done. Just enjoyed that greatly.
Commissioner,
all this is one of those. So during the interviews, I was okay. During recesses at the interviews, they have the dog 4-H program, which is roughly 75 kids, or I don't know the exact number. But
and 75 dogs.
Yeah. Holy so cow. They have this little area out back. They're trying to do these activities with these dogs that are struggling.
Yeah.
And I was asked if we could bring some topsoil and some sod, and they said I would have to present that to the board. So.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. Well. Anyway. Okay. We'll.
She needs to submit a request on a budget request.
Right.
Or stuff like that.
Okay. Right. That's a budget issue.
And that's why I
asked. And
exactly
we still have to go through a contract and see if that's even permitted in our agreement with original agreement with QEP, now in our agreement with PEP. So. All right, Commissioner Burnett.
Mr. Chairman, I have a couple things I'd like to discuss under old business. The first of which would be the lease with the healthcare district for the clinics. As you know, that lease expires at the end of this month, and I think we made it clear to them, or we made it aware that we were would like to have an answer to our response or offer to sell them the Plainville Clinic properties before we made a decision on the lease renewal. As you know, we haven't received any communication with them or anything on our offer, and I think we need to be addressing that lease come next month. Now, personally, from a business standpoint, I think if you are going to have a long-term lease, it affords you the opportunity to have a lower lease amount because you have more time involved. I think if you're looking at a shorter-term lease, whether that's 30 days, 90 days, 1 year, then naturally that lease amount ought to go up because you may have a turnover in that time frame. You may have to, you may be looking at having a new lease. My personal opinion at this point in time, without having heard from them on our offer, I would be in favor of renewing their lease for a 30-day period, reevaluating, so that maybe in 30 days we will have heard from their offer. Now, if I'm going to go on and this is just a discussion, I might as well go full bore with what I think.
I can see it. I can see it coming.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
If you look at the previous lease amount, and let me just say that the healthcare district leased the clinic properties for $100,000 a year for a 4-year lease, but that was only 4 of the 10 years which they've occupied the building. So that's $400,000 basically on a $20 million investment that the county made. Which would put their previous lease under a 4-year period at about $8,333 a month. I would think that with the expenses we have incurred in last month, including another $2,000 payment we have here to Todd Hurd for his engineering work with him doing the appraisal, that first off, I would be in favor of approving their lease for a 30-day period, reevaluating, and after that, and I would propose that the lease amount for next month be $20,000.
Okay. So that's where you—that's where the discussion begins here.
That's right,
gentlemen. So I will jump in and say that the healthcare district, before up to date, did want to renew a year contract, but it was us that said, "Well, let's wait and see until after." If you accept our offer. So they did want to renew a contract for a year. That proposal was there, did come from their lawyer. So they did offer to go into a year lease.
Can I go ahead to that?
Yeah, absolutely.
They may have offered for a year lease, but until we know their offer, if they don't accept the offer to buy the clinic and they propose or get approved to move to a new site and building a critical access hospital, we then know that in 2 years or so we will have an empty building that we will have to repurpose. So,
No arguments there.
I would not be in favor of signing a year lease with them.
Right, and I'm not. I'm not either. I'm not ready to sign a year's lease, and that's why we said that. I'm just making mention that they did offer to sign a year contract. So what we need to decide on is how much we're going to go for a one-month lease.
I'm a little concerned that there has been no response, and then when the response came for the lease, it came through the lawyer. It didn't come through the chairman or a representative to come and talk to us.
And it went lawyer to lawyer.
It
actually
went lawyer to lawyer.
It didn't go to chairman to chairman. Yeah.
So I didn't realize we were in the big city.
Which is, okay, and you don't get me wrong. I'm not on their side, but I am just saying.
This is not sides.
I am just saying that the lawyers are the ones who write up the contract,
well,
not the chairman.
At our direction and their direction.
Right.
I understand.
Yeah. So, anyway, the discussion that we need to have today is an agreement on a 30-day lease and an amount.
Well, I have absolutely no problem with a 30-day lease.
I think I'd cut them a little better break than $20,000, but go ahead.
We're talking about both clinics or just clinic?
Yeah, leasing them both.
This is
the whole operation.
Like we have before.
Like we've done before. The clinics, the ambulance barn.
Is the temporary lease they're wanting just on this clinic, or do they want only?
No, they'd have to sign it for both. They'd have to sign it on all of them.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So what we need to do is we need to direct Matt to draft up a 30-day contract for X amount.
And that, the 30-day thing of it, maybe we'll bring them to the table to have a discussion with us before it moves into the middle of the summer.
Mm-hmm.
Because it seems like it was always, we got to get it done today.
Well, I think the 30-day thing is, for me, a one-time offer. And then after that, we either have a year contract or we have no contract.
My feelings towards that are 30 days until we see there's too much change.
Well, then we will know if they're actually going to purchase the properties. Right?
Yeah.
So maybe. I was going to say maybe. It might take 60.
And if we don't,
right?
So is that the way to frame it? 30 days renewable. 30-day contracts until such time as we know their path forward, or what?
Right.
you go 30 days perpetual?
I don't know that I would want to do it perpetual.
Well, I mean, for a year, with a year cut off.
The curveball for me was when the...
I'm not doing too well.
Well, I'm not either. Deed restriction for... it had to be health care on top of the bill. We could lose everything if they move, build a critical access hospital at another site, and that could become the town hall. Am I correct?
No, well, no. See, that's the deal with there are steps on that land up there that it has to be used for health care.
And if it isn't, then it reverts back.
It reverts back to the town, right? Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah. Okay, I see what you're telling us. Yeah.
And we paid for the town hall.
Well, if there are, I know there are those stipulations on that, so it will always be used for health care as long as I have anything to do with it.
So, deed restriction, physically, my understanding says, used for hospital, which it's never been used for a hospital.
The deed restriction says hospital, not health care?
I thought it said health care. I didn't know about it, but I thought
at the town meeting that I
we'll have to look at that.
Yeah.
We'll have to dig that out.
Because it's not used for a hospital.
Because it's not used for a hospital now.
And they said they've never pushed that issue and they don't intend to.
Interesting.
Well, so Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead.
If you want to talk about deed restrictions, I was informed recently that when that land was originally deeded to the town by BLM, that there's a restriction saying it needs to be used for parks and they're already violating.
They're already in violation of a deed
restriction by using it for health care.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
Whether or not that's, and that came from the cemetery from Don Schooley.
Well,
and that was what the original intent
of
the deed from BLM to the town of Pinedale was about.
That's interesting.
So, what that means today, I have no clue.
So, is it true that the cemetery board has something to do with the wall diamonds?
Yeah.
I can tell about that.
Is it true?
That's been, the town lawyer has researched that completely. Because I had heard that and I asked Paul Jones about it. And that is like in 1927 or something that land was. I can't tell you the whole story, but it's not the cemetery.
It doesn't belong to the cemetery. No. So I can't be buried at third base.
No.
Okay.
Oh, man.
Let's just slide ahead
first. It's owned by the town. The golfers. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it's not. But it's not.
Okay. Let's get back to our discussion here then. We got to come up with.
For the sake of starting a dollar amount, I'll say $10 a month.
So you're saying $10,000?
I started it.
Well, so your proposal is a $10,000 lease for 30 days.
Which is just a fraction higher than where they are currently.
Right.
And that's just to simplify the number.
And simplify the math.
Yep.
Okay. 20 is pretty simple, too. I'm going to keep talking.
We just
incurred $6,000 in expenses last month.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Gentlemen, I need to...
I would go... I would go 16.
Quit. Just quit, okay?
Well, I'm trying to think what we'd get normally, plus trying to recoup some of our money back.
And I know what you're saying, because there was $4,000 worth of... appraisal, and then there was $2,000 worth of Todd Hurd that we're paying this month.
Right.
Right? Yeah, I understand. So that's another $6,000. So if you added that on to the $8,333,
yeah.
Then you...
yeah, so you get 14 rounded up, makes 15. That's even number.
All right, Tom.
We still included these two discussions. For this month, I guess I would prefer to stay at 10. If they do accept our offer, then it's just. But if they don't, then let's reaccumulate our money. because it was a waste of our time and money. So month two, we'll raise it to 16.
Let's
have another comment.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
If you look at that appraisal that we got and went through last time,
yeah.
And if you look at that capital investment model,
yeah.
The suggested rental price on that property was $26.40 a square foot, which comes out to $750,000 a year. Now, if they are not going to buy that property, and they in fact are going to move down to Bloomfield and build there, that's what we've lost over 10 or 15 years, whatever. The other thing is, I'm not sure that I'd go along with a one-year lease in the event that something else came up that might be suitable for utilizing that building for healthcare purposes.
Okay. All right. So if you take $750,000 and divide that by 12, what's that monthly payment?
You know, and that's just for one clinic.
Yeah. It's just for up here.
Yeah. It's a little over $60,000 a month.
Okay. Anyway, we need to come up with a motion.
Sounds right.
And we need to come up with an agreement on a price, and we might decide to come up with a price before somebody makes the motion, just so just so you don't have to vote against it or vote, but you can, which you still can,
which you will,
yeah. So I think I tend to agree with Tom at this point on the first month. Let's see if we can get it organized at $10,000. And then if we can't get it organized at that, then we discuss a price, a lease price.
Mr. Chairman, I go along with that, with the understanding that after 1 month, if it comes time to go month to month, then we start looking at what Dr. Burnett's
recouping some of that money. Yeah, absolutely. And I would agree. I would agree to that. I would.
And I'd be happier with 20.
Yeah, I know.
15.
Yeah, I understand. It's kind of like me and the road paving projects.
Yeah. Well, I'll be happy to vote now.
Okay.
No worries. This is if you'll go along with it.
Yeah, if I'll go along with the road paving project. Yeah, yeah, exactly. This isn't the legislature where I'll vote for you if you vote for me.
No, I'll vote my conscience.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly right. So if someone would like to make a motion, I will entertain it.
I'll go ahead with that motion that I recommended. We'll go with $10,000 this month. In lieu of the
and I think that's decision. All you have to put in this motion.
30-day lease.
30-day lease for $10,000.
$10,000. Yeah.
30-day extension.
Yep. Yeah. 30-day extension, $10,000. Is there a second?
I'll second, Mr. Chairman.
It has been moved and seconded that we give the rural healthcare district a 30-day extension on their lease in the amount of $10,000. 30-day starting July 1st, right, Mary?
Yep.
Starting July 1st. Any further discussion?
Mr. Chairman, then we'll have this discussion again.
In 30 days.
In 30 days, which would be our August?
Well, no, it would be our second July meeting.
Second July meeting.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah. Okay, further discussion? Commissioner Burnett, are you sure? You don't want to discuss
that anymore? Comment.
No comment anymore?
No, sir.
Call for the question. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Nay.
4-1.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
Go ahead. Before we get further in old business, I got some questions on bills.
Okay, let's do that.
We may have went all through them, but I see we're paying $543 for an office chair.
Yes.
Yeah.
$199,240.
Yeah.
What could
who,
that
who
be
Who is
about?
That for?
That's for the chairs, one of the chairs that's in the dispatch center.
So they sat in at 24/7.
Those chairs get sat in 24/7, and we replace them usually annually.
Really?
And we buy high dollar chairs. Because
I didn't know
that
you could
way we
pay
save,
that much for an office chair.
Well, we save workers' comp claims for back issues.
Ergonomic. So what do we do with them when they're turned in?
They go to the dump.
Are they
that wore out?
I don't know.
We ought to consider putting them in the auction rather than hauling them to the dump if they're still usable.
And I don't know.
That much money.
Yeah.
Anyway.
That's an awful
lot. Okay, we talked about binoculars. The Veteran Services contract, is that 6 months?
Which?
The check to the Sweetwater County Clerk for the Veteran Services.
Is
that 6 months?
I think it is 6 months. That one is.
It was like...
It's 25,000.
Yeah, 25,000.
Yeah.
And I figured it must only be 6 months.
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
Because remember, we reimburse Sweetwater County for salary, for all the salary, for all of the expenses to run our program.
Well, I understand that. Yeah. I just wasn't clear how long, if it was quarterly or twice...
I think he bills me every 6 months.
Okay. And then one to L.A. police gear for a pair of shorts for $43.
Oh, that's Jim Mitchell.
I know.
Yeah.
Is that considered uniform or what?
Shorts are uniforms.
Summertime uniform.
Summertime uniform. And we've had this discussion before, and I still don't understand why we're buying uniforms for emergency management. But this comes through the sheriff's budget.
I can understand uniforms from my prior experience in the military, but I don't understand shorts.
And then again,
I don't know what Jim Fancy
is. Isn't it
Bike
Patrol, though, at some of these events? And then I think you specialize
in
shorts.
Scissors,
a
pair of
scissors. I don't know. That's why I asked the question.
Yeah, look at the voucher. It'll tell what it's for.
I just noticed in one of the big events he was doing using bike patrol.
Okay.
Oh, I got you. Could be.
That maybe.
Could be. But you guys know my opinions on uniforms, period. So that's all right.
I understand.
Of course, they have varied, but I agree with you on this instance.
And you know my opinion on real estate.
On real estate. You know my opinion on paved roads.
So I did have one other item about this.
Go ahead. Are you finished, Commissioner Bousman, with the bills?
Yeah, that's
okay,
all
go ahead.
And that would be Mary on this preventative services contract. Where are we going with that? That ends, that expires at the end of this month.
So I have that question back to you. It looked like we received the stuff from the Attorney General's office on Friday.
Right.
It looks like there needs to be a funding proposal made. I've got email from the clerks this morning around the state. Everybody's got the same exact question, what are we doing? Because, of course, it's budget time, which that isn't a real big deal for me. I would rather that we have the money in hand before we put it in the budget and we know what's going to happen.
Right, right. Exactly. So...
But do we know enough, I guess, moving forward to make a decision in terms of who our agent is going to be or how we're going to handle that? Or is that something you don't even pursue until you've got a contract in hand and a dollar amount or whatever? I don't know.
I guess I'm asking,
how do we handle this?
I don't know until we get a contract, until we've written a grant.
Exactly, but I guess
if
we have to make a decision on who's going to be the agent, because the agent has to do the grant writing.
Right.
And since we don't have in our budget a new position, I think our options are limited.
Right. And I think your discussion that you've had before was that this would go to the public health nurse.
Correct. Yeah, and then...
And I know that that paperwork also went to... the regional director gal here on Friday. I don't know much. I don't know anything more probably than you do.
Yeah. I know the talk from the state with this being the 11th hour is if you you get it written by the end of July, maybe they compensate you for July.
Yeah.
I guess the question, answer I'm looking for is when asked the question, what do we do for preventative services? What's our plan?
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
Right.
It also looks like the stuff that I looked at and I read, I really didn't see what the dollar amount is. I'm sure you're not going to go in there and write a grant for $200,000.
Right.
There's going to be X number amount of dollars available for our county, I would think.
Didn't we get that in that last email?
Get some email.
Well,
we got an email from Pete.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Doesn't it have a number breakdown per county?
I don't think this last
There was something that said per county, but I...
The best I could see in there is it looked like about $67,000. But I don't know if... I mean, there wasn't really much of anything else. It was kind of like this, oh, and I'm going, well, that's significantly less than what this program in our county has been funded in the past. But is that, you know, is that an issue for us or not, or I don't know.
Well, we are meeting very early in July, like the third. But I would think either now or then, I guess the question, Mr. Chairman, is, do we need a motion to make a decision that we're going to have public health serve as our agent with this? Or do we can maybe wait till July 3rd? Everything will be maybe ironed out better than what it is now? I don't know.
I think if we're going to make a motion, public health and can be in charge, we ought to bring Stephanie and have that discussion.
I don't know that we even need to make a motion.
Yeah. Yeah.
Be right honest with you, but if we are wanting to put some money away, that needs to be done before July 17th. When we adopt, is it the 17th, we adopt a budget.
Mm-hmm.
But Stephanie has, there has been discussion with her about this.
I think this is a discussion or a decision we can make budgetarily
right
before the 17th of July. If we say, okay, we're going to put some money in there, or no, we're not. And I don't think we'll need to have a motion. It won't need to be done in this setting.
Okay.
Does that sound okay?
If our intent is to, whether we do it through an MOU or however we do it, to have public health administer it, it's probably time to talk to her and put something in writing, maybe, to let her know that.
Yeah.
And then we'll sort out the funding when we know.
That's true.
What we need to do.
That's true.
Things are going to snowball in a hurry.
Yeah.
If everybody's putting in after July 1st, trying to get that grant in by the end of July so that they're covered for July, if what Commissioner Bowser just said heads up to public health, because they're going to have to be looking for an individual to be working in that capacity.
Well, from what I'm seeing this morning from the other clerks in the state, everybody's looking for who that entity is going to be that's going to be their administrator. Laramie County is going to go to their health, I forget what they call it, but it used to be City County Health Department, but it isn't that now. But they're going to go to those folks to be their person that's going to administer this. And it kind of looks like that's what everybody else is trying to figure out, is how are you going to manage this?
Well, I guess from our standpoint, our choices are more limited. We either hire somebody to do it, or we try to get public health or ask public health to become the agent for that. I don't know that we have other alternatives.
So do we need to get Stephanie on board then? I mean, do we have to have some sort of an agreement with her? Do we make that agreement now? Do we wait and see what happens?
I guess my question or thought would be, you just talk to Stephanie and tell her that's the direction we intend to go, that perhaps we're not going to be hiring another individual.
Right.
So is the, and I remember who all the people were that were noticed when they sent out the stuff Friday. Because I know you guys got it, but it seems to me that the gal that is Stephanie's supervisor in Evanston was also on that list of people.
From the
Department of Health?
Well, yeah, the Department of Health, the stuff that we got from the Department of Health was sent to, Sublette County was sent to, the commissioners was sent to.
Weren't you copied on that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So according to this email from Pete, after reviewing the other documents, particularly the PDF that lists the amounts going to each county, titled County Prevention Grant Funding Breakdown. Do we have that? Because I couldn't find it.
That was my problem. I couldn't find it either.
We don't have it. We don't have it because there wasn't any breakdown in the stuff that we got from Department of Health on Friday.
So evidently it's out there according to this. And that would tell us how much money we're going to get. Mm-hmm. And that's my question. How can, if we're going to put some money in a budget
right.
beyond this amount, we need to know what this amount is.
Right.
As a starting
point. Yeah, exactly right. So is this something that we need to have a Stephanie come in and say, this is what we're thinking, what do you think about that? And then make a decision budgetarily before July 17th.
I'm not worried about a budget
okay.
decision.
Because most of this, I thought, was going to be just pass-through
money.
It's
pass-through mm-hmm. money, anyway. Okay, hang on a second here. We might have something. So it looks like, and I can't tell if this, I would imagine it's a biennium, so it's probably a two-year deal. And our part is $231,545.
So that's $115,500
a year. So this was sent to you guys and to me
on Friday.
To Stephanie Pyle. Stephanie Pyle is
the, she's the one at the Department of Health
yeah.
that heads that up.
Yeah. And it came from Erica Matthews, who I don't know who she is. But I wonder.
It came on Friday.
Yep.
From Erica. I know.
Erica Matthews.
I don't see it in my stuff.
Yeah, I got it there.
It's to all you guys.
Yeah, I got it. Dear Sublette County Commissioners. County Prevention Grant.
That's Title 11.
Yep, County Prevention
Grant. And it was last Friday?
Yeah, Erica
yeah, it
Matthews.
It says Mary and Erica. Just hope we had somebody that could decipher that.
So to participate in the grant program, please complete the attached grant application, review the attached draft contract, and statement of work. Please note the draft contract and statement of work are simultaneously being reviewed by the Attorney General's office. The Wyoming Department of Health will communicate any changes to the draft contract and statement of work as soon as they have become aware of them. These draft documents were modeled after recent contracts
between me just send it to you, Joe.
I've got
the
it.
Department
got
of Health in your county that were approved by both your county attorney and the county or the Attorney General's office. So that was what we signed with Public Health like a week ago.
According to this, we get $231,545.
Yeah.
I think would be. If we're going to move in that direction of having public health do it.
And is that for 2 years?
Yeah. I would think that we'd contact Stephanie, tell her that's our intention, and let her be looking for somebody that she can work with that money to hire and submit the grant application.
That's my thought.
Okay. Do we need to just, do we need to have her at our next meeting, or do you think we can just contact her?
I think we can just contact her, because I've had previous conversations
okay.
with her.
Yeah.
This won't blindside her.
No. She had several conversations.
Okay. You want to contact Stephanie?
Sure.
Okay. Let's do that then. Let her know what we decided. It's a little bit of indifference flying around in here today, but that's all right.
Okay.
Hold on in one section.
Can I ask something?
Yeah, go ahead.
So currently, Renee Hayes is the prevention person. Who does she work for?
An outfit called PMO, and PMO had a contract with the state Department of Health to do that, and the Department of Health chose not to renew that contract.
Yeah. Okay, good. Did you have any for other old business?
Haven't I had enough? No, further old business.
I've kind of enjoyed it, but
it has been a good day.
Commissioner Bowsman.
It'll be easy.
Yeah.
Already mentioned I attended the legislative meeting at the BLM office. I guess nothing more really to report on that. I had a conference call scheduled with USDA last week on Friday.
Yeah.
And we got stood up.
Oh, did you really?
Bailey and I and Rich Stem were all on, and nobody joined. We sit there for 10 or 15 minutes, and then I emailed everybody.
Yeah.
Got all kinds of apologies back from
the
deputy chief and the USDA guy that somehow they both spaced it out. They said it was their fault. Huh. We have it rescheduled for towards the end of the month.
I'll be darned.
And I don't think it'll happen again, but I did get word secondhand that the deputy chief is very amenable to the idea of redrawing the roadless map.
Oh, good.
So we'll see. He'll be on the call, so we'll find out when we have it.
Okay.
That's what it was about.
Cool. All
right. And this is on the BLM.
Forest Service roadless.
Service roadless.
Okay, good. Anything further, Commissioner
BLM. Well, let's see. I had Mary gave me a paper. We did. Mary got us signed up for the sage grouse plan amendment. That's for the Forest Service sage grouse. So they're starting scoping on that. So that'll be something that'll take some time to participate in that. BLM Tribal Management, they haven't made their seen a record of decision yet for that. So I don't know where we're on that till we see. Again, I was told secondhand that the field manager is going to offer to go out on the ground with permittees, which really should have happened the first time several years ago. But we'll see what happens.
Okay.
So I think that's all I have, Mr. Chairman.
Excellent. Tom, you had something?
Yes, I just have a quick question. I think Joel's the person to answer, maybe Mary or Andy. The PILT money lawsuit, can you enlighten us more there? How much did we get this year? I think you said 800 roughly. Was that true or not sure?
We haven't gotten our PILT money yet.
Not yet. So I guess I'm just asking for that conversation so I can be more aware.
Generally speaking, the years that email talked about were years that PILT funding was based on what Congress allocated, not based on what Interior considered full funding. So I don't have the numbers for what full funding would have been. Do you have those numbers, Mary?
So what we've done so far is Friday Matt accessed the website that allows us to be a participant in the class action lawsuit. And then there is a call today that he's not in the county, but he will participate in the phone call today.
Yeah.
We are trying to figure out, the thing we don't know is we don't know what we were entitled to those years. We know what we got, but we don't know what we were supposed to get. And historically, what's happened with PILT over the years is that, you know, they've authorized it, but they haven't fully funded, and that's where this lawsuit comes from. But my understanding was is that we were fully funded, we have been fully funded for a while. So, but I don't know, and I sent an email to Pete yesterday, and I said, where would we find out what we were supposed to get? I said, because we don't know that. We know what we've got, but we don't know what we were supposed to get.
We should be able to find that out from Interior.
Well, and so he was going to do some looking, and I said to him, I said, I bet everybody in the state's going, geez, how do we know what we were supposed to get?
Every county will be asking that question to know how much we would stand to gain by being in this lawsuit.
Right.
What happened, at least as I read the lawsuit, was there was some language in a bill when they agreed to fully fund PILT that for some reason then for those period of years they only funded it at what Congress authorized instead of fully funding it, and we don't yet know what that difference is, but that's what the lawsuit's about.
Right.
And my guess is we would stand to gain over that 2 or 3 year period probably several hundred thousand dollars.
So I would imagine, because I think, let me tell you what I got this year for PILT.
Back then, we were getting a pretty good amount.
This year's more than we've ever got.
This year,
yeah.
I think we need to know before we spend 100 grand trying to get 50.
Yeah, that was my thoughts exactly.
Well, see, in this, so last year we got 889,000. The year before it was 972. We haven't seen our money this year, but our money's down considerably. 541 is what the estimating guide told us for this year. So, but we, like I said, we haven't seen our PILT money yet. It's supposed to come, I think.
It was going to be more this year than we've ever got.
No, that isn't what the estimate is.
It's what they said, yes.
Well, that's what they announced at NACO.
Yeah.
Well, maybe we're going to get a boost.
So, I don't know.
So, but my understanding also is PILT money is supposed to be here today or tomorrow.
So you are working on the formula. What were we supposed to get? You are working on that question.
We've asked that question. I don't know. So, well, I don't know how we know.
I don't either.
So, but yeah.
I think Matt will have some information
possibly
off that
after the call.
Well, the call, I think today will probably tell everybody
the number one question on that call today is
because everybody doesn't know,
about.
I'm sure.
Right.
And you'll pass that along to us?
Yeah.
That calls at 3 today, right?
I don't know.
I don't remember the time.
When PILT money comes in, come in one check?
Yeah. Comes in one check, comes this time of year, ACH. They wire it in.
And it goes into the general fund?
Yeah.
Anything further, Commissioner Bowser?
No.
Okay. I made various and sundry appearances and phone calls, and I won't bore you with the details. Let's go to lunch.
So moved.
Would you like me to read that motion?
You think you can?
Evidently not good enough.